You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you. This is hour two, really hour three for us, if you did wake up early at 8 a.m. for On the Tee Show. And joining us now is Ben Ruta, former Yankee, talking all things Major League Baseball, specifically around the Yankees, because he was one. And this segment brought to you by Teza. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I survived the earthquake, so I guess that's a plus.
Yeah, there you go.
I know your folks live in this area. Did they experience it? What did they say?
I think they felt it a little bit, but nothing major. But they did say they felt it. I remember when I was younger in Jersey, there was another one that I felt, and it was like small, but it has happened before.
I was playing pickleball. I didn't feel a thing. And then we got an aftershock a little bit later, like around 6 o'clock. I didn't feel a thing. So a part of me feels like I missed out a little bit, but, nonetheless. So the Yankees were taking BP and just like didn't skip a beat. They were like, all right, let's roll with it.
Yeah. They probably thought it was like Judge hitting or something like that.
There you go. All right, let's start right there. Again, Ben Ruta joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Another injury, unfortunately. Loaisiga is out now. Looks like he's going to have Tommy John surgery. What do you feel this means for that bullpen and in this rotation?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge injury. I think he's probably, if not the most important, one of the top two or three guys in that bullpen. You already can see kind of they're searching for outs already once the starter's out of the game. That's a huge miss in he's out for the year, so there's no getting them back. So they're going to have to fill some holes for sure.
So you know, what happens now? From what I understand, Santana has been called up. Did you know him in your time with the Yankees? What can Yankee fans expect from him?
Yeah, I didn't know him. I think what to expect with everyone, I think they're going to be plugging in guys in different spots and kind of someone's going to have to step up, and they're going to see what works and who does good in what leverage situations, and then they're going to go from there. And I mean, it's definitely early in the season right now, so I don't see him making any moves really for now, but I think they're going to try to figure it out, put guys in different roles, and then get something going that's a little bit more consistent in the next upcoming month or two, and then go from there.
Looking at the American League East, the Yankees at the top, 7-2. They've only lost two games. The Boston Red Sox, Ben, wow. Who thought this? 6-3, and then the Orioles at 5-3, and of course the Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays at 4. It's early on. Kind of let us live vicariously through you, right? Like, it's such a long season. There's an ebb and flow to the season. How significant is it that the Yankees have started this hot?
I mean, I think it's very significant because not just because they're winning games, but kind of how they've won these games. Some come from behind, a lot of close games, just because that gives you confidence. And I've been on some good teams and some bad teams. And when you're on a really good team and you go down early or you're in a close game, you kind of feel like you're going to win that game. And there's more of like a calmness throughout the dugout. And when you're on a bad team, it's more, you're just, all right, you're waiting for something bad to happen. What's going to go wrong this time? So the fact that they've been closing out these games in different ways and winning these close ones, I think is a really good sign. And obviously getting off to that hot start, but I just think the way they're winning them is definitely a really strong sign.
And they're winning, granted, Soto has just been unbelievable. Stan has started, and no surprise here, I feel like each and every year we talk about this, his batting average yesterday, prior to yesterday's game against the Blue Jays, where the Yankees won 9-8, he was sitting there with a 1-2-0 batting average. He's now at a 2-1-4. you know, and one of the biggest criticisms or concerns him coming over from Miami is, you know, at the start of the season, playing in such cold conditions. And he typically doesn't do well. You know, how much weight do you put into that in regard to Stanton's slow starts?
I mean, that's a good question. It could be a coincidence. It could. Some people are notoriously slow starters. I don't know if it has to do with the weather. I mean, I remember Mark Teixeira was always a slow starter. I don't know if you put any weight into the cold or, but I mean, it definitely could be true. I mean, it is definitely a different game when you're playing in the cold. If some people don't like it, but yeah, I mean, as far as his batting average and all that, I mean, you see how much it can slip in the beginning. I think he started like 3 for 20, and you'll get stretches like that during the season all the time, and you won't really even notice it. But because it's the beginning of the year, you see that 125 on the board. So we'll see where he's at in a month. But I mean, he had a good game yesterday. But I think he's the biggest piece of that lineup for success. So he's going to have to keep having more games like yesterday if the Yankees are really going to be a force, I think.
Ben Ruta joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, talking all things Yankees. They're starting the season strong, but obviously some disappointing news with Loaiza down, out for the season because of he's going to need Tommy John surgery. So what that means for the bullpen, let alone getting there, of course, for Clay Holmes to help save some games for them. Let's talk about Volpe and what's going on. You know, obviously young, hefty expectations last year. Yankee fans looking for him to pick up where he left off and maybe grow even a little bit more this year. Talk about his role at shortstop and you know, how significant you feel his growth needs to be this season.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought Volpe was a stud. Just working with him in the off seasons and seeing how he goes about his business. So I'm not really surprised that he's kind of seems like he's taking a step up this year. But he's huge for the Yankees because, one, I mean, he won the Gold Glove as a rookie. I mean, he's a rock down, behind the pitcher, and you need that. You kind of need that guy to you saw all the problems they had when Glaber was there trying to fill the void from when Didi was really good. So it's nice to have that captain, so to speak, of the defense. But, yeah, I mean, what you're seeing now is I think – I don't know. I don't think he's going to hit – as much as he's hitting now, but obviously it's early. I mean, he's hitting like 380. But when the guy is a very, very smart player, so it doesn't surprise me at all because all he's doing is adjusting to the game and he's taking all that information he gained last year and he's coming in with more information and just kind of taking all – he learned. I mean, he played the entire season. He learned so much, all the ups and downs, and now he's way more comfortable. You can tell just like the aura that surrounds him. So I think he's gonna have a big year. There's gonna be a lot of guys on base for him when he's hitting. There's gonna be a lot of good counts, good situations. So I'm pretty excited. I'm so glad he got off to a good start too, and I'm sure the Yankee fans are too.
Well, today, first pitch around 1:30, 1:35 to be exact, against the Blue Jays. Gill on the bump for the Yankees going up against Francis. This will be Gill's second start of the season. Your thoughts on this matchup today?
Yeah, I mean, I think this favors the Yankees. I mean, Gill is nasty. You see the glimpses of him when he's on. I face that guy. His stuff is legit. So when he's on, he's on. I like the matchup against the Blue Jays pitcher today. I think they'll score at least 6 or 7 runs, so that should be able to do it. And they just got to keep winning series. Just plug away, and in a couple months, you just keep focusing, winning series, and you're gonna be right where you need to be. You're gonna look at your record and be like, "Wow, we're in a really good spot." So I think they'll take this game today, and I do think it is a big game for them to keep this momentum going.
Let's look big picture before we let you go. Again, the Yankees, number one in the East. Boston Red Sox really have been probably the most surprising But it is early in the Central. The Cleveland Guardians, they're up there 7-2. Detroit Tigers right behind them at 6-2. Rangers up the top at the West. Angels right behind them with the Seattle Mariners. In the National League East, the Atlanta Braves up there, but they're 5-2. Philadelphia 4-4. Really no surprise here. How about the Marlins 0-9? What do you do then? You know, like, because then just I think everything presses more, right? You know, your starting pitcher, your relief pitchers, your closers at the plate, like everything is just, you know, you just want to win. You want to get over that hump, right, Ben? You just want to win that first game to start the season 0-9. It's got to be horrible.
That's tough. And I actually thought the Marlins would be pretty decent this year. So I'm pretty surprised that they're 0-9. But you can tell that the wheels are spinning over there because of some of the interviews from those players and how they were getting booed in their first at bat, all that stuff. So you know they're feeling the pressure, that's for sure.
I love the Pittsburgh Pirates coming in. Sure enough, they've started the season strong. It's 7-2 in the Central. And then, of course, no surprise there, the Dodgers at 8-3. Your thoughts in regard to the Ohtani story? And I feel like we really haven't heard a lot as of late. Anything you're hearing that we can expect in the next week or so?
Yeah, I mean, nothing on that front. I think they're keeping that as close to the chest as possible. I don't know anyone that knows anything, what's going on with that. And I think a lot of people are so eager about hearing something because, I mean, that's probably the biggest story going in baseball right now. And it's been going on for weeks and we haven't really heard any answers. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will be interesting to see what develops from this. I feel like, you know, last week it was like front and center on the front burner, no pun intended. And then now it's fallen by the wayside, but obviously we've got a lot going on with the Final Four championship, men's and women's, and all that happening. Again, Ben Ruta joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Ben, before we let you go, let the folks know, you know, how they could get their hands on some Teza.
Yeah, you can get your hands on Teza on our website, Amazon, TikTok. We're in some stores in the Northeast. We have a store locator on our website, TezaEnergy.com, TEAZA. All it is a little pouch of herbal tea you dip. There's no nicotine or tobacco in it. And it has B vitamins, and we have caffeinated, uncaffeinated options. It helps with energy. It helps curbing cravings for smoking, chewing, vaping, and even snacking. So a lot of people use it. Like we have we sponsor a UFC fighter, Matt Rivola, who's a Long Island guy, and he uses it for his weight cuts, stuff like that. So there's a use for everybody. So yeah, definitely check us out. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Ben, thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Yep, sounds good. You as well.
You got it. Ben Ruta joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Quick break. We come back. We'll get your calls, Yankee fans. How concerned are you with this injury? Thoughts on the Yankee start so far? Thoughts on the game today as well? Here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You mentioned in the break, full transparency, we were going to talk about the earthquake, and then I got inspired. I'm like, oh, I got to play Shake It Now by Metro Station, and I completely forgot about the Aaron Boone cut that.
I love it. Listen, I love the creativity. I love the creativity. I love where you're going with that. I really do.
Would you like to hear the Aaron Boone cut?
So no love lost. No love lost. Let's hear it.
All right, so for context, this is Aaron Boone talking about the loss of Jonathan Loaisiga.
I mean, obviously, it's tough news. You know, the first thought is just for him. You know, you feel for him, and throwing the ball so well. You know, he's just dealt with things over the last years that have, I think, added up to this point. So I know they're still collecting some, you know, opinions and making sure everything's dialed in. So got somebody else needing to emerge and step up and become an important role, and hopefully we can pick him up.
So they're bringing Santana up from the minors. We'll see what he can do until, of course, more reinforcements do come in. As I mentioned with Ben, the earthquake did take place the other day and on Friday, and the Yankees were out there taking BP. It didn't miss a beat. Now, I didn't feel anything. I was in the city. I was playing pickleball at the Sky at Lifetime, and there were six of us there, four of us playing, two of us waiting, and all of a sudden we were like, wait a minute, like our cell phones are going off, our Apple Watches were going off, and we're like, an earthquake, did you feel anything? I didn't feel anything. Did you feel anything? No. Did you? No. No, no, like nobody felt anything. And then later on that evening, around 6 o'clock, we had an aftershock, didn't feel that either. But man, I've spoken, even Christina Thompson, who we had on earlier for our golf show, she's out there in Denville. She said that she felt like her house was about to fall down. So obviously a lot closer to the epicenter, which was in Lebanon, New Jersey. So Tom and Chantel, did you feel it? So Tom, let's start with you. Where were you?
So I was at home lying in bed when the earthquake was going on, and it had been windy like for the past few days with all the storms. So I just thought, okay, we're getting like a large wind gust. About 3 seconds in, I realized, oh, this is an earthquake. And then I started cheering on the earthquake.
You started cheering on the earthquake?
Yes.
How does one cheer on an earthquake?
Well, you just kind of go, earthquake, earthquake, something like that. But in all seriousness,
was that
though,
just to calm your nerves? I don't understand.
No, that was the first thing I thought of, because like a long time ago, I had seen like a cartoon on the internet about a guy who had never experienced an earthquake before and how he'd like throw a party if like he was ever in the middle of an earthquake. Like he'd have party streamers all over the place and he'd start shooting them off if he was in the middle of an earthquake. So immediately, for whatever reason, my mind went to that, and I don't know, I was pretty happy with the earthquake. I mean, minus from the part where, you know, something could have like fallen on my house or something, but I don't know, I was pretty happy. I got to experience an earthquake, and yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I can't say that anyone has said to me, yeah, I was pretty happy. This is a first. This is a first.
Maybe I'm just crazy. Who knows?
Maybe. Chantel, did you have the same experience? Were you cheering it on?
No, I actually had a very, very different experience. So I was at a car dealership in Valley Stream, mm-hmm, getting my car serviced.
Right.
And did not feel an earthquake. And nobody in the dealership actually felt an earthquake either. But someone texted me like right when it happened, like there was just an earthquake. And I was like looking out the window, like, what are you talking about? And then the general manager of the dealership comes out and he's like, did you guys feel an earthquake? And we were all like, no. But like everyone else outside of the dealership like felt it. So I was kind of like happy that I didn't feel it, because like I don't need any more anxiety. But then I started to feel kind of left out when I started seeing all the memes on Twitter. I was like, damn, I wasn't even there. But then I felt the aftershock, and I was kind of like Tom. When the aftershock happened,
so
I was like,
so you
yes.
felt the aftershock around 6 o'clock?
Yes, I did. And it was it was cool. I was like, I'm rocking with this. Like, literally rocking with this, because we were shaking. So it was cool.
Okay, so again, you're the only two people I know who've said like, oh, this is cool, I'm going to cheer this on. Like, I'm rocking this out. Like, majority of people are like, oh my God, I was terrified. I felt like, you know, the house was going to explode. I thought the roof was going to come down. Like, people were actually like terrified of it. But nonetheless, thank God, you know, at least I haven't heard of any casualties or anything like that. So God bless. We've got a next natural phenomenon that's taking place on Monday, and of course that is the eclipse. We talked about it earlier on the show. The path of totality. I don't know why. It's like it's a thing now. It's become a thing for me since you guys don't hear this.
You're addicted to saying the path of totality.
I am addicted to saying the path of totality. I am addicted to it.
I'm gonna
try to figure out a way, like, how to use that phrase in life now moving forward. The path of totality.
I was gonna say, if you ever start a podcast, that should be the name of it.
The path of totality.
Yes.
How have you guys not heard this? I've heard this like a gazillion times in the last 2 weeks. I just don't understand. Well, but anyway, I have five friends that are actually traveling to the path to see it in its totality.
Good for them.
Do you know anyone who's doing that?
No. I don't know anyone.
So interesting. So Tom has not one. So Tom doesn't have, he has not one, but two friends that are 7 feet tall. I have none. And I have, I know of five friends that are traveling to the path of totality. Again, I'm going to say this a lot today, to witness the total eclipse. But neither of you have any.
I have one friend that,
oh, really?
Say that, yeah, that they are going.
They're
going to
travel? They're going to go watch? They're going to go see it?
Yeah, they want to travel to go see it, for sure. And I was like, you got to get glasses. And they were like, what, glasses?
Oh,
I'm
my
like, yes,
gosh,
you have to get glasses. Don't try to travel to see the eclipse and you don't have glasses. But then now you're saying, this was a few days ago, so now you're saying that some of the glasses are fake.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Man. Dangerous. I'm telling you, dangerous.
Just don't say you haven't been warned. That's all I'm going to say. Just don't stare up at the sun, people.
But in all honesty, I don't mean to disrespect your friend, Chantel, but how can you want to travel to go see an eclipse, but not be educated on what it's about and how it can potentially harm you?
You know, I think groupthink is just a thing. So once a lot of people are doing something, some people are very urged to just do it too, you know?
Right. Anyway, just my advice to everybody is just whatever you plan tomorrow, just be home between 3 and 4. And let's just pray to God that we don't lose our cell service. That's it.
You're being very much a Debbie Downer about Mother Nature today.
I know I am. I don't know. I haven't been sleeping well at night. Maybe I've been spending too much time on TikTok.
That'll do it.
I know. The world's coming to an end. 800-919-3776. Shame on me. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I rarely am. I am glass half full. I am typically very, very positive. But for some reason, I don't know. This has gotten to me. I don't know. Path of totality. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I'm just fine. Oh, you're silly. Tom and Chantel are producing the show today. Fun show so far. Considering we're on for 4 hours, it really is flying by. With you until noon. We still have Jimmy Patsos, former head coach of Siena, as well as Loyola, who's going to be joining us talking more March Madness, as we know who the men and women are going to be competing for the national championship. Also, Jimmy works for the Wizards, so I'm going to talk to him about the Knicks and the Bucks. Big game ahead for the Knicks later on this afternoon, so we'll dive into some NBA talk. But first, Greg Wyshynski joining us on the program, the Puck Daddy, covering all things NHL. Just a few games left in the regular season, one in particular, the Rangers. Later on tonight, you'll be able to listen to that game right here on 98.7 ESPN, going up against the Canadiens. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Tom. On 1050, going up against the Canadiens. The Rangers on the puck line, minus 142. The Rangers on the money line, minus 360. No surprise there. So, Puck Daddy, how are you handicapping this game?
Yeah, you know, Montreal is obviously not a team that has anywhere anything close to playoff aspirations. I don't think those ended a long time ago. But they have had an uptick in quality later in the season. I think at one point they were winning like around five out of their last seven or something along those lines. So, you know, you've got a lot of guys that are trying to, you know, lay the groundwork for what they hope will be a turnaround season next season. They've been playing pesky hockey. They're not an easy out, even though they're completely out of the playoff picture. So should be a little bit of a challenge for the Rangers on Sunday, but obviously the way the Rangers have been rolling lately, hopefully not too much.
Let's look big picture, right? In some of the futures odds that are out there, that you feel that really have some value and that we can jump on right now. In looking at division winners, right? Like anything that stands out to you, like, Carolina winning the Metro, let's say over the Rangers, right? Like you could get them at plus 850. In anything that stands out to you?
Well, that's an interesting one. You know, obviously that is a race that Carolina is very much still in. They finished on the road with four straight games. And I actually think I like them a little bit more at home than I do on the road. So that's something to keep in mind with the Carolina Hurricanes chasing the Rangers in that division. Then, of course, there's the Edmonton-Vancouver situation. You know, Edmonton still trying to get traction and maybe catch Vancouver for first overall in the Pacific Division. Vancouver and Edmonton actually meet later in the season, April 13th, in fact, which could be a 4-point swing for them. So the way that McDavid's been rolling and the way that Vancouver has been a little bit up and down, I'm not counting out the Oilers from maybe taking the Pacific Division either.
I know you've liked the Dallas Stars for quite a while. And, you know, for them to win the Central minus 750, but the Colorado Avalanche at 5-1, any worth a shot there?
No, I think Dallas is really locked in right now. And not only in the sense that they have one of the deepest collections of forwards in the league and, you know, their acquisition of Chris Tanev, a defenseman at the trade deadline, has really filled out that group. But the big news for Dallas has been the reemergence of their goalie, Jake Oettinger, who for most of the season had been kind of a disappointment. I mean, I think a lot of us came into the year expecting that he was going to challenge for the Vezina Trophy as the league's best goalie, had not had a strong season. But then within like the last month, he has been lights out, maybe the best goalie in the league. So with him going and they're going to keep riding him to get him prepared for what should be a long postseason run, I have a feeling that Dallas is going to be sitting atop the Central Division, which gives us Colorado and Winnipeg most likely in the first round, and then Dallas maybe playing either the Kings or the Nashville Predators in the first round.
Again, Greg Wyshynski joining us here at 98.7 ESPN, looking at some of the futures that you could jump on right now before the postseason begins. Some interesting odds for teams to make the playoffs. The Penguins at plus 340, the Islanders at plus 110, the Flyers at minus 115, the Red Wings at minus 115, and the Washington Capitals at plus 155. One or two of these stand out to you that you feel worth to throw a little coin?
Yeah, it might be recency bias, but the Penguins stand out to me. They played a game against Washington earlier this week that ostensibly was a playoff game for both teams, and yet only the Penguins were playing at a playoff pace in that game. Sidney Crosby has been insanely good in his last six or seven games, almost to the point of where he is making a late MVP push if the Penguins can make the playoffs. This was always a team that had the possibility to string together a bunch of wins and make this thing interesting. And I think right now they're locked in. They've certainly played some really good hockey lately. And keep in mind also, they've got their chance to play Detroit on April 11th. They've got their chance to close out against the Islanders on April 17th. So they've got some 4-point swing games on the schedule as well to make things really interesting.
President's Trophy, Rangers favorite at minus 140, Dallas at plus 190, Boston at 10-1. Rangers foregone conclusion. And do you feel that there's still value there at minus 140?
Not a foregone conclusion. In fact, I think Boston could even be in the mix too for the President's Trophy with the way that they're finishing. I think, like I said, Dallas, having, you know, gone on an 8-2 streak recently, matching that of the Rangers, they've been playing really, really good hockey. I think if you're looking for value there, I'd take a sprinkle on the Bruins. In fact, I find that to be kind of interesting. I know that the Rangers and Dallas, you know, have had games in hand at certain times, but you know, the Bruins have some winnable games, I think, later in the season, and I'll be intrigued to see exactly how they close it out if you're looking for a value play.
10-1, that is a lot of value there. Are you surprised that the Rangers are at minus 140?
No, I'm not. The Rangers have been really playing well, and I think that strength of schedule is part of that equation. Not only the game against Montreal, but, you know, they're playing, they've got the Islanders twice, and obviously those are going to be big games, and the Rangers will be up for them. And then they close out against Ottawa, which is a very winnable game. So, you know, I think there's a certain strength of schedule thing going on there too for the Rangers.
All right. So looking really big picture here, right? Who's going to represent the East? Who's going to represent the West? Who's going to win this whole damn thing?
My preseason pick was Edmonton and Toronto. I'm going to stick with that. I mean, I got a ride. You know, they're both in the playoffs. If it happens, I look like a genius. But, you know, the two teams that I think are worth monitoring right now are the Dallas Stars in the West, the Vegas Golden Knights in the West, who are going to probably get healthy at the right time, much like they did last season. And they're getting really good goaltending out of Logan Thompson, too, which bears watching. I mean, obviously, the Aiden Hill run last year is what really gave Vegas the cup. If they get good goaltending again from Logan Thompson, who knows? And then in the East, I'm just fascinated by Carolina. I got to be honest with you. Like, I think that they're going to pull a winnable series in the first round, whether it's Washington or Philly or whomever, Pittsburgh, and then that 2-3 series. I think that's a manageable series for them. And the acquisitions of Jake Gensel and Evgeny Kuznetsov at the trade deadline, to me, are two proven playoff performers for a team that has often needed that just one goal in a key situation to get over the hump. So I really like Carolina, but I do want Edmonton and Toronto, so I look smart in the end.
So Carolina right now favored to win the East at 3-1, Toronto at 7-1. And then Edmonton at plus 380 out of the West. Before we let you go, what about some of the awards out there that you feel might have some good value?
Well, it's interesting. So we ran our NHL awards watch on ESPN.com this week. You can check it out. It's the actual ballots from the actual voters for these awards. So you get a really good sense of where things stand. The three awards I just want to mention real quickly: the Hart Trophy for MVP. Nathan MacKinnon has a very healthy lead. Like 77% of the first place votes that we received went to MacKinnon, but that support was wavering a little bit when it came to Connor McDavid potentially leading the league in scoring, and then also Auston Matthews potentially hitting 70 goals. Those are some numbers that maybe the voters can't ignore and could eat into McKinnon's support. The Rookie of the Year race, it's close, but it's Brock Faber right now, the Minnesota Wild, with the inside track over Connor Bedard of the Chicago Blackhawks, who, of course, everyone assumed was going to be Rookie of the Year. And then the one to really watch is the Norris Trophy for Best Defenseman. Quinn Hughes of the Canucks has been leading the field for pretty much the whole season. But, oh, here comes Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators. The Predators, the hottest team in the second half of the season, and he is getting the lion's share of the credit for it. He, Quinn Hughes had over 70% of the first place votes last month. That's down to 54%, and a lot of it went in favor of Roman Josi as far as the support.
So Hughes, by the way, favored at minus 650. Roman sitting there at 18 to 1. Faber, by the way, 14 to 1. Just FYI.
Wow, and he's 14 to 1 for the Calder?
14 to 1.
I would take a sprinkle.
Look at you. Look how excited you just got. That's a run, don't walk.
Run to your local ice cream shop and get the sprinkles and sprinkle all you want, because I'm telling you, the voters are really impressed with Faber and how much he's played for the Wild and how well he's played for the Wild. Listen, in the end, it could still be Bedard. He's had a great season and he's got all the hype in the world. But I'm telling you, man, there's a better than good chance that Brock Faber could steal this thing.
And for the heart, McKinnon is minus 360. You said Connor McDavid, he's 10 to 1.
Yeah, McDavid, I think, has an inside track. There's Nikita Kucherov there, too. And then the Austin Matthews one, I'm not sure if he can steal this thing in the same way that McDavid could. But if he does hit 70 goals this season, there's going to be a lot of people that can't deny the enormity of that feat. And there's a chance that he could pull that thing out for MVP.
Again, that's Greg Wyshynski, a.k.a. the Puck Daddy, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Just a few games. I kind of like that both the NHL and the NBA kind of their seasons dwindle down the same. And, of course, we get into the postseason with them side by side. Coming your way in our third hour, Jimmy Patsos is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the national championship for both the men and the women. And we will start talking some NBA. It's a really big game for the Knicks later on today against the Bucks. That, I'm certain, you'll be able to hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. When we come back, let's find out what's trending around our world, our sports world, at 10:45 a.m. on this Sunday Funday here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is Click, 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 or Don't. Click, Click, Boom. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
That's right. It's time for Click or Don't Click, a fun way we take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport. We find out what is trending at 10:50 a.m. Eastern time, of course, on 98.7 ESPN. Our producers always lead the way. So therefore, Tom and Chantel, what you got for us?
Anita, how about a goat debate to start things off on Click or Don't Click today?
You know how I feel about that, but go ahead. Okay.
All right. Well, so Caitlin Clark. So a lot of people have been kind of speculating whether or not she should be the greatest of all time when you consider women's college athletes in basketball or just the NCAA in general. She's got the scoring record, and a lot of people are kind of putting down that maybe she's not the GOAT because she hasn't won a title yet. By the way, that title game is coming later today at 3 p.m. on ABC when Iowa takes on South Carolina. But again, so that GOAT debate is kind of happening all over the social space. Caitlin Clark talks about having to win a title to become the GOAT and the talk surrounding that.
For as many people that are going to love you, there's going to be people that don't like you. And, you know, that's the case with every professional athlete, men or women, playing at the highest stage. And I think what I've been able to do over the course of my career is just focus on the opinions of the people inside our locker room. That's what I really care about. The people that I love to death, the people that, you know, have had my back every single second of my career have been the ones that have believed in me more than anybody. And to me, that's really the only opinions that I'm concerned with are my teammates, my coaches, my family, the people that I want to make proud every single day.
A wise answer from Caitlin Clark. Now, Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina, what do you think about Caitlin Clark and the GOAT debate?
I had a great career, but it's always, did you win a championship? Went to the Final Four three times. We never won. So I do think if If Caitlin wins the championship, she's pretty damn good. Like, yeah, she's in I mean, she's pretty damn good regardless. But, you know, winning the championship would seal the deal. I hope to the dear Lord she doesn't.
Anita, does the championship seal the deal, or that has that illusion already been shattered and she's number one?
You know, this is a really difficult topic and subject for me because I don't believe that championships defined the greatest of all time. You know how I feel about Tom Brady. I know everybody, you know, calls him the GOAT. In fact, if you hashtag Tom Brady on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, there's a GOAT emoji. It just makes me want to vomit. I think it's really unfair and not wise to appoint somebody the greatest of all time in a team sport. Dan Marino was 100 times the quarterback that Tom Brady was, but never won a championship. Okay? And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Miami. Neither here nor there. I'm actually not a huge fan of Dan Marino off the football field, but that's a story for another day. I have a really, really hard time. Now, individual sports, you want to argue, debate Serena Williams, Steffi Graf, you want to argue and debate Tiger Woods, Jack, you want to debate like in individual sports? Absolutely. But in team sports, I just have a hard time with that. Like, so in this game later on this afternoon, I do have South Carolina winning, by the way, as much as I'm going to be rooting for Caitlin Clark, I do have South Carolina winning -6.5. I've got Caitlin Clark under 33.5 points, but I've got her over 8.5 assists. Why? Great players make others around them better. I think South Carolina and Dawn Staley are going to try to take Caitlin Clark out of the equation. And she's going to have to me, orchestrate and set her teammates up for some open shots. But they're going to have to hit those. This is my assessment of the game. Okay. They're going to have to hit those shots. So as great as Caitlin Clark more than likely is going to be, and I think she's going to get her share. I think she's going to hit her three pointers. I think she's going to score. But so much is going to be riding on what her teammates do, especially rebounding. Right. So do I think that I think Caitlin Clark for sure, I think you put her in the top three in regard to the most, the best college female player ever. I'm a little biased because I'm good friends with Nancy Lieberman, and I know we had her on the show last week. So I'm a little biased in that regard. I think definitely you could put her in the top three to say that she's the greatest of all time. I think you can make a fair argument for that. She's definitely captured our country by storm. She has become the darling for many people. But I just, you know, Tom, we've been working together long enough. I have a really, really hard time appointing somebody the greatest of all time when you're talking about a team sport, because so much more, you know, we talk about, oh, Tom Brady won all these championships. Well, a lot of those championships were won because of defense and because the teams that they were going up against made bonehead calls, like the Seattle Seahawks not running the ball with Marshawn Lynch, or the Atlanta Falcons with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator throwing the ball when you're up by a gazillion points. So let's minus two championships with Tom Brady. Are we still going to call him the GOAT? I don't know. I have a hard time with that. I hope that answered your question. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay. So for the next one. So Zach Edey is a Canadian player attending Purdue on a visa. So he legally can't capitalize on any type of NIL deal while he's here in America. He says he hopes that can change for future international college athletes. Click or don't click?
I click that.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Well, I have one main question. Did he know before he went to Purdue, like, because you're Canadian, you will not be able to capitalize on an NIL deal?
Yeah, so I don't, and again, if folks, you're just aware of this, so Edie, who's 7'4", who's just an absolute stud of a player at Purdue, cannot make NIL money. Now, we just talked about Caitlin Clark. I want to say, like, she's made, like, over $3 million, close to $5 million in NIL money. You know, there's a number of other college men's basketball players that are making a lot of money in regards to NILs, but because Edie is Canadian, he can't profit from NILs. I think it is borderline unfair, by the way. Now he can profit from NILs in Canada, but how many people in Canada are paying attention to American, United States college basketball? I don't know. How many people in Canada are tuning in or watching in NCAA? I don't know. I would imagine that he's got to have some NILs in Canada, but he cannot profit from any here in the United States. And it's not just him. It's any player that's not an American citizen cannot profit from NILs in college sports, which sucks. Something needs to be done.
I mean, he might be the one to change it, which would be pretty cool.
Possibly. All right, let's get one more because we do have Jimmy Patsos, who's going to be joining us to talk some NBA as well as college basketball. So give me one more thing that's trending at 10:58 a.m. on this Sunday Funday.
All right, Nita, how about MLB pitchers getting hurt in speculation about that with their arm issues and all that? Click or don't click that.
Yeah, obviously, especially what just happened with the Yankees. So, yeah, I'm curious.
Well, like Jonathan Loaiza, Shane Bieber, and Spencer Strider, two notable MLB starting pitchers, and yep, many others recently, have gotten hurt with either being an elbow injury or, in Loaiza's case, a torn UCL. And the head of the MLBPA, their union, Tony Clark, released the following statement on that, saying, despite unanimous player opposition and significant concerns regarding health and safety, the commissioner's office reduced the length of the pitch clock last December, just one season removed from imposing the most significant rule change in decades. Since then, our concerns about the health impacts of reduced recovery time have only intensified. And once again, MLB messed with the pitch clock this year as well. I believe you have two less seconds when there's a runner on base. It went down from 20 to 18 seconds about how quickly a pitcher can throw the pitch. But Anita, my question here is, I don't know if pitch clock is necessarily the issue here when you have Major League Baseball prioritizing guys having to throw their fastball a lot harder, and they're going to have to throw a lot more sliders as well. It seems to be the trend in baseball the past few years, is the rise of the sweeper, if you want to even say that's a real pitch, or a slider. But also guys throwing like 97 plus constantly, and a lot more guys doing it. It's leading to a lot of injuries, not just in Major League Baseball, but in the lower levels as well, even youth baseball.
Yeah, listen, it's an unnatural movement. Our arms, our ligaments, our muscles weren't meant to, throw a baseball, to move, to have that, what's the word I'm looking for? To have that motion, especially at that fast a pace as many times as pitchers do it. So, but one thing, and I talked about this yesterday, one thing in talking to Major League Baseball pitchers who've had Tommy John surgery, the majority of them have said that they come back bigger, stronger, faster, like the Bionic Man. Was it the Bionic Man or the $6 million Man and the Bionic Woman? It was one or the other. I just remember as a kid, I watched those shows. I guess there's the positive. You're on the shelf for a year, but your arm is reconstructed in a way that if your rehab goes properly and all things go according to plan, you're actually a much stronger and a better pitcher after Tommy John surgery than you were before. So there's a positive. Anyway, this is what is trending at 11 a.m. on this Sunday morning. Quick break. We kick off hour number three, actually hour number four, if you were tuning into our golf show. Jimmy Patsos, former head coach, college basketball, also part of the Washington Wizards broadcast team, joins us next. We'll talk NCAA as well as the Knicks. Let's get into it. Big game against the Bucks later on tonight. You'll be able to listen to that right here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll be right back.